Businesses.
Fairhope Hemp and CBD, Hughes Funeral Home and Crematory, Fairhope Living, and At Your Door Pet Center.
928-9228 is the number to call. When we get you on the line, you can talk about anything you want, but please no guns, ammo, prescriptions, or businesses, and let's keep it to rescue animals only. Aside from that, pretty much anything goes. Stay on the line to make sure we get your information accurately as well. Mark would say, because it's Tuesday, and that's Monday in disguise. And I'm going to say it's Cliff McCollum Tuesday. Mark is out all week on vacation, and I'm getting guest hosts to join me on the show this week. And today it's Cliff Day. Welcome, so, Cliff.
It's come to this. You've reached the bottom of the guest host barrel. You couldn't get Don Rickles, so here's Cliff McCollum.
Cliff, former newspaper editor and journalist, and now director of constituent services for the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation.
That is it.
There you go.
Or, as we always like to say, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
There you go. And we're going to talk about how you can help folks with things you might not realize. You're a resource that many folks may not be aware.
Always.
Swap Shop, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Google Verify.
We got that yesterday. Google, what is Google Verify?
I don't know, but it sounds vaguely ominous.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you've got a tech company and some word meaning some version of, like, truth or trust, I automatically do not trust it. Because, you know, fact check or verify or... I can do my own research. I would rather be able to look for what I want to look for and verify it myself.
But some of these scammers are just so good at what they do. You get an email from PayPal or Amazon or your bank that looks so legitimate. But don't click here and don't do that.
Well, see, I always know it's not my bank emailing me because they're like, you have $5,000 in a cash account. We need you to input this. And I'm like, ain't no way. I ain't never have $5,000 in my bank account. That's not a thing.
Right. There is a new scam that the Fairhope Police Department is warning people about. Residents are getting calls from an unknown caller. The caller is telling the resident they have a relative in the Fairhope jail and that they need to buy a gift card from Dollar General in order to bond the family member
Only Dollar General. Just specifically, you can't get it at Winn-Dixie. You can't get it at CVS or Walgreens. It has to be, you know, actually, that tracks. Because if you're going to be doing some sketchy behavior, Dollar General is your brand. Like, that is the brand for, like, you know, those of us on the scummy end of the spectrum.
This is a new twist on an old scam. In fact, a friend of mine's mother got this call not too terribly long ago. Your grandson, Joey, is in jail. They even knew his name. They got it off Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And she luckily hung up and called her daughter, my friend, and said, is Joey in jail? And, you know, she's an 87-year-old mother. They're going for the emotions.
Oh, no. I mean, like, my own mother has gotten one. I don't know if you're listening today, Mom. But
hi,
if
Mrs.
You are,
McCollum.
A few months back, she got one that I was in jail.
And she said, let him stay there.
Get this one now. In Latvia.
Oh, dear.
Now, first of all, my passport ain't even up to date, so how I got to Latvia, I must have gotten taken or something like that. I don't know. But, of course, mother called, and she goes, are you in a Latvian jail? And I said, no, I'm at the office, although they're not entirely dissimilar. And she goes, I'm just making sure. Somebody called and said you were in a Latvian jail. I told him, well, he probably did something where he deserves to be there, so just leave him there a while.
That's funny. Want to remind you all, please don't feel like you're interrupting us. This is a call-in show, and we want you to call 928-9228. We're just going to talk and fill in the space while we wait. So let's give us the rundown that you help residents in Baldwin County, and you also assist all of our senators.
Senators, representatives.
And representatives.
You know,
I have a question that we were taught when we were kids.
Yeah.
In that little government jingle and stuff. What's the difference between a representative and a senator?
Okay. Usually it's the size of the district that they represent. At the federal level, you have members of the House of Representatives. They're tied to congressional districts, like Jerry Carl is ours for the 1st District, or Mike Rogers is the congressman for back home that has like that eastern, northeastern part of the
your
state.
Your guys are for the state.
Oh, yeah. But so a federal senator represents the whole state, right? Like everybody gets to vote for Tuberville or Katie Britt coming up here with this next election. With the state house and the state senate, it's really about just the size of the districts. The house districts, it's a lot smaller. Like Representative Faust is our representative for like Fairhope and Barnwell and Magnolia Springs. Representative Simpson has Daphne and Spanish Fort.
Doesn't he have a piece of Mobile too?
He does. He did before redistricting.
I see. Okay.
He had to consolidate because of the huge population growth that we've had here. Whereas, Senator Elliott, for example, Senate District 32, goes all the way from Timber Creek all the way down to Fort Morgan and over that away. So, at Senate, it's just a larger district. There are fewer senators. It's just a matter of delineation that way.
Chris Elliott will be here, by the way, via telephone.
Via telephone.
Friday morning at 8:20. Yeah, he used to come in a lot as a commissioner, but he got all big-headed in that Senate, and I don't get to hear from him as much anymore.
You know, that boy stays
I'm
busy.
I'm kidding, Chris. You know that.
But I mean, especially with back to school being right now, and I don't know if you've seen some of his Facebook posts, but taking the kids to school via boat has been interesting to watch him.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
No wonder he can't be here at 8:20.
I mean, do you blame him? I mean,
no, I do not. So, what do you do? I mean, you help people with a wide variety.
Oh, you know,
it's like if they can't get an answer, call you.
Yeah, I'm the concierge of the county in some ways. And I was trying to register for some continuing education stuff through the NCSL, which is like the State Legislature Professional Organization, and trying to figure out what group I'm supposed to belong to. Because they have all these different things for different types of legislative staff, I couldn't figure out where I belonged. So I had to email them, and I'm like, okay, if you're a Swiss Army knife kind of guy like me that has all these different responsibilities, where do you belong? Because I do some communication stuff. I do constituent service stuff. I do some, like, it's a whole lot of veteran service stuff. In fact, we were working on some veteran service stuff yesterday, trying to get somebody into the on the wait list for the green home up there in Baymanette. So what I love about it, Lori, and it kind of goes back to when I was in journalism, I don't like to be bored. I don't like something to be standard. And in a job like this, every single day is completely different. And even if you have something planned, something can come in and, you know.
Well, people like you and I can't sit in an office from 8 to 5.
That's just, we ain't built that way.
I've never done. Well, I did a brief period, about 3 months in between radio jobs one time. Nope, can't do it.
No, and similarly, when I went into teaching, I have nothing but love and respect for our teachers, but the Lord didn't call me to do that. You know, I have my teaching degree. I could teach English education at the middle school or high school level if I wanted to, but again, the Lord didn't call me to do that, and if he does want to call me to do that, he's going to have to go Jonah style and send me a whale down there at Waterhole Branch.
Swap Shop, good morning. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure.
I have for sale today about 10 to 15 the little trays with bass lures in them. Most of them are crankbaits. Most of the trays have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 in it. And they would run about, if you bought a tray full, it'd run about $3 a piece. If you picked them, hand-picked them, that'd be a little more than that. But there's some nice crankbaits in there and some jerkbaits. So I'm at
626-7303. Okay. Did you want to put a price, Max, or you just let folks negotiate with you?
Well, they'll be about $3 a piece each, and some of the trays has got 30, and some of them has got 50, And if somebody wanted all of them, there's a lot of them, I would make them a special deal on them. And I've also got my boat for sale, a nice bass boat, 19-foot with a 175 Optimax on it, about 100 hours, a little more. And
what was the motor?
Lures, they're so varied. Some of the lures would cost probably $15 or $20, and some of them would cost $7 or $8, you know, so...
Right.
If somebody come in and hand-picked out three of the best ones, I wouldn't want to sell them to them for $3 a piece. They'd probably be about $8 or $10 a piece.
What was that horsepower on the motor?
175. It's a 36-volt trolling motor system on it.
Okay. Is it ready to go fishing?
Well, I'd love to, but I'll tell you what, I'm getting about that age where all this rain and lightning and thundering and stuff like that, I've been aiming to go for about 3 or 4 months and haven't been out there, but I can go with somebody else. And
there you go. Let somebody else deal with the boat. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we got you at 626-7303.
626-7303, right.
All right. Thank you, Max.
Bye-bye.
Can you read that far?
I can. You know?
I forget, you're younger.
Yeah, you know, I'm only 30. Just because I look like Orson Welles in his 50s doesn't mean I am in my 50s.
You look like Orson Welles in his 30s.
Pull up my Facebook profile right now.
I saw that picture.
That is Orson Welles in his 50s, looking like me current day.
Oh, dear.
So a dozen bait trays with bass lures in them, nice crankbaits and some jerk baits. We got a nice 19-foot bass boat with 175 horsepower, 36-volt trolling motor system. If you're interested, 626-7303.
And you never know what you're going to hear on Swap Shop. Yesterday, we have a gentleman call in. He's looking to buy a Jersey cow.
And that's always kind of the example that I give when people ask what Swap Shop is. I'm like, you could buy a boat or some creepy haunted dolls or a cow.
Yeah. So if you're in the market, if you have a Jersey cow or calf for sale, this gentleman's number is 369-9463. Our number is 928-9228. Lines are open. And we would love to hear from you. So what are our senators and representatives doing now? What was the last session? Just kind of give us an overview.
I mean, there was a lot that went on the last session, especially with some record numbers in both our education trust fund budget and the general fund budget. We were able to do a lot of good stuff with that, especially for our teachers got a very nice pay raise statewide. This year, state employees were given a cost of living increase as
well. How much was that?
Off top of my head, 2 or 3%, I want to say, for the state employees, and I want to say 4 for the teachers, 4 or 5.
Okay.
And they also, for the teachers, if you're teaching in those STEM courses, which would be science, technology, engineering, and math, there was an additional stipend that was created for those content area teachers to try to attract more folks to those areas. Mm-hmm. There was also, they upped the allowance given to teachers to buy like room supplies and classroom stuff. I think it went up an additional $100. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
There's a shortage of teachers.
Oh,
and
nationwide.
Bus drivers
nationwide,
and they definitely need to step it up.
Well, but I mean, let's be honest. With all of the pressures that were already on teachers before the pandemic, and I can say this as somebody who's been in the classroom, with the high-stakes standardized testing, with the IEPs and things of that nature that you have to work with some of the kids who need that, with parents who are more interested in you parenting their child than them, then you throw the pandemic on top of that, and then on top of that, let's throw the, now we're going to tell you what you can and can't teach in your classroom thing, and you get vilified as a teacher. Why would you want to continue in that job? Especially considering the rate of pay that you get there. Like, it's just hit after hit after hit after hit. It's demoralizing. I have seen so many people that I went through English ed school at Auburn with. There were probably 20 people in that class. Top of my head, I know for a fact 7-8 of us are no longer teaching, and a few of us aren't far behind.
Speaking of teaching and schools, have you heard about a special referendum for Daphne High School feeder pattern residents to consider a 3 mil property tax increase?
No, and this kind of continues a trend that we've already seen. Oh, we saw it here in Fairhope. Spanish Fort has done it. Robertsdale has done it.
Central Baltimore, yeah, Robertsdale, Loxley, yeah.
So, yeah, this is just a natural progression. We figured Daphne was probably going to be next on this. They have the ability to do this. And
when you say we, the legislative office really has nothing to do with this, or they do?
So, in so much as the legislature, you know, largely can amend and fix parts of the Constitution, yes, but this power is given to
the local school boards through and the city councils
to
apparently.
Be able to, if you have a city school system, yes. Cities have to sign off on it to a degree, but it has to be approved. Like, if you've got a county school system, it also has to be signed off on by your county school board. There's a little dual role thing there.
Yeah, well, this is obviously county.
Well, and not to mention the county commission also has to sign off on having the election because they're an election body. It's a fun little multi-layer cake of governmental involvement.
Well, there is a 3 mil property tax increase proposal. The vote is on August 30th. If it passes, it would benefit Daphne High School, Bell Forest Elementary, Daphne East, Daphne Elementary, Daphne Middle, and W.J. Carroll. And we always remember the translation. 3 mil is $10 per each 10,000 assessed.
And
don't you think it's just really bad timing when we've got 8.5% inflation, the grocery prices are out the roof, gas is out the roof, and
okay, gas has been coming down.
Do you know what it was 2 years ago?
Lori, 2 years ago was 2020, and everybody thought we were all going to die, so nobody was really driving around all that much, so the demand wasn't there. When you don't have demand, price goes low. I don't remember economics that terribly well, but I think Miss Price taught me that one.
Okay.
But
I still think it's bad timing.
It might be, but since it's so hyper-localized like that, and people genuinely care about their kids' education and making sure that they're allocated the right amount of resources and money to be able to grow and thrive and succeed, this money is going to stay in that feeder pattern. It's not getting redistributed elsewhere around the state. It's not going anywhere else. It's going to stay in that community. And I think when you've got a hyper-local tax district like that, people do tend to vote for it because it supports their kids getting a good education. And if you got good schools, if you got good education, your property values are going to be good.
All right. Well, what about, I'm just wondering out loud, and I haven't interviewed anyone about this yet. I just found out about it, actually. Why not just do it in November when you've already got the referendum? The election. Everybody's going to the polls. You don't have to, whatever it's going to cost, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, what it's going to cost to pull this election off.
And sometimes it's strategic in terms of what you're proposing and how you're proposing it, because sometimes there might be more of a certain type of voter that shows up in a general election than what a special election. I can't speak to the reasoning behind it, but sometimes that is a thing that happens.
All right. Okay. Well, 928-9228 is our number. Lines are open, and we would love to hear from you. What else is going on?
Well, I will say that two of our senators, Senator Albritton, who is the chairman of the general fund budget, which is always a fun thing to be able to throw at people in Montgomery when we need them to do things for us, because the general fund budget controls everything in the state that is not education. And Senator Elliott, the people's champion, Chris Elliott, had to go up to Montgomery. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. They are on the oversight committee for the state's American Relief Plan Act money, the COVID money that was sent to us by the federal government.
Uh-huh.
And I will tell you, Senator Elliott took a little bat to Adam during that hearing. I always, when they're up there working on stuff, I tend to have it on in the background while I'm writing or not speaking directly to a constituent, just to make sure, you know, everything's going okay. And there were some issues because the legislature had appropriated $225 million for additional funding for existing ADEM programs that fund drinking water infrastructure improvements and clean water infrastructure improvements, largely sewer issues. And of that $225 million, ADEM had begun appropriating some of it to all these different counties. And, well, Lori, how much was appropriated to Baldwin County? I want you to guess for me.
Out of how many million?
$225 million.
From the whole state?
From going across the whole state.
Probably maybe 15.
None yet so far. Not one thin dime. So, of course, Senator Elliott had some questions about that, especially in light of some of the projects that had received funding, including it was an over $1 million upgrade to a lagoon in Greene County. And, you know, Lori, when you look up where that lagoon is, I believe, if the map ain't lying to me, that would be the lagoon right there outside of the Greene Track facility, the gambling facility there in Greene County. There were some other...
Then, give me the correlation. What do you...
The casino there?
Yeah.
The little Green Track thing? We are the fastest growing county in this state and need infrastructure upgrades to, you know, not only keep up with the growth, but address issues we're already having. But, yeah, we can throw $1 million+ at a retention pond in front of a dog track because, you know, they really need it there. Sometimes when you leave government agencies up to interpret things with their own devices and internal policies, their definition of need and the people's definition of need can sometimes and usually is two entirely different things.
So where does that stand? Are they looking at changing the allocation, or is it just, sorry, buddy, maybe next time?
Well, Senator Elliott made a point that these programs come for re-upping, because there's probably going to be more federal relief money coming, it is going to be very difficult for them to try to re-up that without addressing some of the needs in growing counties like ours,
yeah,
and Madison and Shelby. Because I think Adam's interpretation, based on the way they've been allocating this money, and I looked through a lot of the details, because you know me, once something gets stuck in that head of mine, I can't not...
The journalist comes out.
It does. I think they interpreted need to mean some of these... less financially stable counties is, I guess, the nice way to put it. Even though there was a special appropriation made specifically to a lot of the, especially the counties in the Black Belt, to address sewage issues and septic issues specifically outside of all this money. I think ADEM interpreted that need as we need to give it to the poorer counties. Whereas I think some of the legislative intent, especially from our legislators and other legislators in growing counties, we need to be making sure we're giving some of this money to these fast-growing counties, especially because the fast-growing counties have the ability to match some of that funding that's being given to them.
Yep.
And so we can stretch those dollars even further because we're not having to spend 100%. You know, there's maybe a 10% match, yep, or a 20% match coming.
What's the name of the program again, so I can ask Chris about it?
ADEM has got it. It's the Clean Water Program and the Drinking Water Program. If you go on their website, it's like on the homepage. I'll show it to you later.
All right. Well, listen, y'all, we don't want to bore you with details like that. We want you to call 928-9228. Our lines are open and we would love to hear from you. But while we're on the topic of grant money, are y'all familiar with, and I'm thinking you've got to be, this is another ADECA HUD grant. It is called the CDBGDR Hurricanes Sally and Zeta Grant Program.
Okay, well, be...
Hang on, I'm going to tell you what it stands
for. No, community development or community block development grant is CBDG, although I always want to say CBGB.
Community development block grant, yes, okay.
Because that's a very common thing. I remember it from my Opelika days because those were the grants that were used to fix up a lot of our downtown area.
So they're putting together an action plan for hurricane disaster recovery, mitigation, housing, community economic development for disaster affected areas that include Mobile, Baldwin, Escambia, and Clark counties. Federal funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The plan will describe how the eligible local governments can access grant funding. They had two meetings last week. Are y'all involved in that?
To a degree. And we'll talk about that when we're not.
Okay. Swap Shop, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
I have a 17-foot fiberglass boat. Has a galvanized drive-on trailer. Good spare. The boat has a place to put a kicker motor. And it'll take up to 115 horsepower engine. There's no motor on it.
Okay.
I'm asking $800. At 251-228-1538.
All right, so we got the 17-foot fiberglass boat, galvanized trailer. It's got space for a kicker motor. It can accommodate up to 115 horsepower engine for $800, and that number is 228-1538.
38. Thank you very much.
228-1538. You're welcome very much. We got you. Thanks for the call.